Generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves.
Another poignant speech during the course of the DNC this week in Philadelphia. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're taking a look back at the DNC and the RNC. We're also going to take a look forward at the general campaign, general election. Dr. Kenesha Grant is a political science professor at Howard University, and she's here in studio with me. Also, WHUR news reporter Taylor Thomas, who is just back from covering the DNC this week. We want to hear from you. Has your mind changed after hearing or watching the two political conventions, or are you more determined than ever to stick to your guns? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Zoe. Zoe calling from Southeast. What's on your mind, Zoe?
I'm a millennial, and what I really think is that President Barack Obama did all her heavy lifting this week. I was a little disappointed in Bernie Sanders, seeing that the emails came out and how they sabotaged his campaign. But for the most part, I didn't watch her speech because I don't favor her, but because of the situation that we're running with Donald Trump, I have to support the Democratic Party.
You know, it's really interesting because let me say, and is it Zoe or is it Zoe?
Zoe,
thank you so much for that. I mean, you started with Bernie, you were looking at Trump, and then you've decided to go with Hillary Clinton. How difficult a decision was that for you, Zoe?
You said what decision?
How difficult was that decision?
Clearly, I can't support a reality TV show star. It's just conscientiously, I went to a historically black college, took a whole lot of black political thought classes, and there's no way conscientiously I can support a Donald Trump or a Republican candidate.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Zoe. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ricky calling from Richmond. Thanks for calling, Ricky. What's on your mind?
You're welcome. To answer your question, well, good evening to everyone, first of all. But to answer your question, I've been a Hillary Clinton supporter from the get-go. And after the convention, it has reinforced my desire to support her, and I haven't changed my mind at all. And it's disturbingly mind-boggling to me how anybody is wrestling with this decision at all. That's just the way I feel about it. But I am strongly in support of Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Ricky, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Taylor, I want to ask you, and I've been wanting to ask you this all week, and of course it's been so much happening that we really haven't had a chance. What is the thing that you found most interesting or that really stuck with you this week?
You know, there's two parts, and I have to mention Bernie Sanders, his supporters. And that email scandal, I just want to make it clear, I've spoken to many delegates and congressmen. They're saying that despite what was said in the email, there was no plot, and the numbers are the numbers. So she did win. Now, that was one thing that people were saying, that Bernie Sanders should have said, that she won fair and square, even though there was a feeling within the people who were in this email incident that were against Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton still won based on the numbers. The surprising thing for me was Bernie Sanders and the turnaround from day one, just seeing massive numbers of people with Bernie Sanders t-shirts and buttons and signs and chanting and screaming and disrupting the speakers. And as soon as Mrs. Obama took the stage and said and delivered that powerful, which to me seemed to change the mood in the room, there was not one boo or interruption during her speech. And from that, the very next day, Harold, I told you, I saw maybe a handful of the signs. It just seemed like it changed the whole momentum and things started to go on the up. Now, again, Bernie Sanders helped by speaking the way that he did and clearly and wholeheartedly supporting Hillary Clinton, but that was one of the big things for me. And again, the Muslim father speaking, and then the military might coming out and saying what they said about Hillary Clinton, those were some things that really, really stood out to me. The young lady who was in the wheelchair who talked about Hillary Clinton, I just I think a lot of the delegates and people that I was speaking to that came there liked the fact that this party's convention was so diverse. They had Indian, they had Latino, they had Asian, so everyone, Muslim, they had everyone included, and they said that's the America that they know.
Are you surprised, Dr. Grant, that we didn't hear Donald Trump criticize Michelle Obama?
I don't know how to feel about that. I have been reading about it, and from what I've read, she is the only person like in American politics he won't attack, and I don't really know what that's about. Clearly he likes her, clearly his wife likes her and likes to say things that she says. So
sorry, I had to laugh at you.
Whatever do you mean, Dr. Grant? I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're talking about.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're gonna do.
That your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
The values that you work hard for what you want in life.
You know, if I didn't know what that was, I probably would have assumed that it was a DJ on the ones and twos.
Playing games. Like my students in there copying and pasting, thinking that I know that's not your voice. What are you doing? So,
that's a tough one to explain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. On one hand, it's Michelle Obama. Who doesn't love Michelle Obama? But on the other hand, she was, I think, hard on him just like other folks were hard on him. And he doesn't seem to, in the past, have propensity to separate between honest critique and, I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a jumble. Could she run for political office?
I hope Michelle Obama runs for political office. And my friends are going to call me a hypocrite if they're listening, because one of my critiques of Hillary Clinton is that this idea that, you know, American democracy should be open to all people and we shouldn't have political dynasties in America like we do in other places. But I am totally here for Michelle Obama to run for office. Totally here for that. I think she should do it. I think she has the favorables to do it. I think she's smart enough to do it. And I don't think that she got the opportunity to demonstrate her intellect and to act in a way that proved how fiercely smart she is. And I would love to see her have a position where she could do that.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Robert, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Thanks for taking my call. And
thanks, and
hello to all on your panel. But I don't need warm fuzzies from Hillary Clinton. I am going to vote for her. I'm not trying to elect my grandmother. I'm not trying to elect my favorite aunt or the lady that gives out candy down the street. I want somebody who is the president. I don't want anybody who's anything but someone who's level-headed and cool. That's what I want.
Well, Robert, let me ask you, because you know you're one of the few. I mean, you're looking at it from an intellectual level, like you said. You're not warm and fuzzy about it, but the reality is, a lot of people vote for president because they like the guy, and now I can say, you know, like the gal. But you know, do you think that is there a likability issue at all in your mind, or is it just straight down the line? What's the resume, and is she going to be commander in chief?
Well, no likability issue for me, but thank you for saying I'm looking at this on the intellectual level. But I wish everybody would. But I'm not looking for any warm, fuzzy president. You don't. That's not in the job description. Yeah, you can be, but there are things that you have to do, decisions that you have to make that you know will not satisfy everybody.
Well,
and for somebody like Donald Trump,
is it because she's a female? We talked about that this week.
Yeah, I think that's it too. You know, nobody said anything about the crazy Uncle Donald Trump. You know, and the man is off his rocker. But now that, you know, you have a woman running who knows what she's doing, as the president said, she's overqualified for this job. That's who we want, and that's who we need.
Robert, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Real quick, Dr. Grant, he makes a great point. However, as we have seen in recent years and recent months, there needs to be a sense of empathy when it comes to the national tragedies, particularly the shootings, the mass shootings, and there needs to be some warmth, male or female, right, when you're out there standing in front of Americans that are hurting and confused in the wake of that.
The game changed in 1960 when we started putting television, when we started having television debates for political candidates. Before, you could be this kind of straight line person. What's your resume? Does your voice come across good on radio? And you can make it. But now with TV, people are making calculations about who you are and whether or not you're empathetic and all of these other things based on how you look. So this is not something that's specific to her, even though it might be happening differently to her because she's a woman, but this is something that has been going on for a long time. In terms of the shootings, absolutely, people want to know that they understand. Many of the folks who I talk to who are younger are or were stressed in the beginning of her campaign because it took her a long time to say Black Lives Matter. Not all lives matter. Not I understand what you're going through, but I get it. Like, I feel the same way you feel. And I think that is going to be important for her as she seeks to get Black folks out to vote. I understand what you're going through. I feel what you feel. I am capable of meeting your needs in that way.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. V, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling, V. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I'm going to make it real quick and short. First of all, I'm a Navy brat.
Okay.
And this message is for the brother that called in who was in the military. I also took care of a Vietnam brother. That I had a lot of dealings with the Veterans Administration, which I didn't particularly care for. But I wanted to let him know that Donald Trump had proposed, and if you look back at some of his speeches, he's going to negotiate with our allies, and he's going to piss off some of our allies. Now, if they drop the bomb on 9/11 for Bush, trust me, they're going to start coming more over onto our country, onto our land to fight. And we're not going to have allies to fight our wars. So therefore, our brothers and sisters in the military are going to be almost by themselves.
Well, V, let me say this, because that's one argument. But I will tell you, at the RNC, Donald Trump's apparent unpredictability,
exactly,
and his straightforwardness has given our allies, obviously, and arguably our enemies, pause. Could that also be a strength?
No.
Or you don't think so?
No, I don't believe it at all, because they're going to push him. Putin's pushing him. Let me go one step deeper.
Real quick, go ahead.
I'm in the service industry, and I work in D.C. I have dealt with some of Hillary's employees.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary took care of her operatives. I can confess that. I will not tell you where I am because I cannot.
Okay.
But but I'm going to tell you this. I personally saw it, and she's no joke. She's not a warm and fuzzy person. So don't think that she's like Bill. Don't think that she's like Hillary is very standoffish. But she has met with all the mothers of Black lives. I mean, the brother needs to go back and look at that.
Okay.
And I'll close with this. If God treated man like man treated man, there'd be nobody left in the world.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, V. I appreciate that. I want to play a little bit and have Dr. Grant respond or react to this, because this happened at the RNC.
I have a message for all of you. The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, and I mean very soon, come to an end. We will be a country of generosity and warmth, but we will also be a country of law and order.
Red meat for the party faithful. Dr. Grant, what are you hearing there?
I don't know if I would call it red meat for the party faithful so much as I would call it red meat for the disaffected Trump prototype person. We know, because we have data that suggests that crime is not as bad as he is making it seem. Like, America's not perfect, but we are certainly not in a place where we should be pounding our fist about how bad things are.
I want to talk a little bit more about that crime piece, because a name comes to mind Willie Horton.
Hello.
From the campaign of George Herbert Walker Bush. We'll talk about that in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're taking a look back at the RNC, the DNC, and also looking forward to the general election. Right before the break, I mentioned Willie Horton. For those of you who don't remember, Willie Horton was a convicted felon who was released from prison. And back in during the campaign of Michael Dukakis, the Democrat, and George Herbert Walker Bush, the Republican, who, of course, won. That ad about Willie Horton and rotating felons in the prison system, one could argue, was one of the undoings of Michael Dukakis. Do you see any similarities between that and what Donald Trump is saying about law and order and crime?
Absolutely. I think that this whole conversation about law and order and crime and not, quote unquote, being warm and fuzzy is all about stoking the fears of people. And you heard him say it, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of it fast or quickly or whatever he said. These are not quick fixes. These are decades long, centuries long, in some instances, big, intractable, as we call them in public administration, wicked problems. And they're not the kind of things that you can get rid of fast. And people will be voting or maybe voting for him under the assumption that if I vote for him, then crime in America, whatever that means in their minds, will end tomorrow. One of the things I think Black folks should be concerned about when they hear this law and order stuff is that law and order does not exist in the minds of a Trump supporter, potentially, or in the minds of the person who's going to be activated by this language. Their idea of law and order is not law and order in general. It's not white collar crime. It's not crime that takes place in rural America. It's not crime that's taking place in suburbs that white people are committing at the same rates that Black people are committing. Law and order is a cue. It's a dog whistle to folks that I am going to take care of these Black folks. I am going to make sure the quote unquote inner city, to the extent that that's left after gentrification, is safe and that these Black folks are not going to be all over you. So I think if we are, again, looking for clues about how we want to judge Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, we might think about this law and order thing as a cue to some people in the party that I'm going to take care of these Black folks' issues quickly.
202.
I did hear people saying that that Blacks hear that sentence, that phrase, differently than most white Americans.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Michael, calling from Brandywine. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm calling from Brandywine, Maryland.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to raise the issue of basically duping the American public as far as each side, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whichever side you go for.
Well, Michael, you got 30 seconds, so go ahead.
Okay, bet. What they're saying is that, hey, when I get in office, I'm going to change this law. When I get in office, I'm going to change this law. It takes the act of Congress, both Democrat and Republican, to change a law. So when presidential wannabes say they're going to change a law, it's a lie. It's a flat-out lie. And what can we do to bring this to the forefront, no matter what side you're on?
Well, one of the things that was said this week, a reminder by President Obama that you just don't vote for president.
Right.
You vote all the way down the line. And we've spoken about this on this program also. You don't just vote all the way down the line. You take a critical look at the people that you're voting for all the way down the line. State legislatures, city councils, sheriffs.
Prosecutors,
exactly. So certainly that, Michael, is at the heart of your point, I think. So thank you so much for your comment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Reverend Dr. May, calling from North Carolina. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you today?
Just so fine.
I listen to you. I love your station. I'm a delegate from North Carolina. I'm actually on my way home from Philadelphia. And I'm a Native American as well as a Bernie delegate supporter running in Johnson County, North Carolina, for a county commissioner seat. One of the things that we learned in Philadelphia is that we have to be united as a group, as a party, and as people. And one of the things that that Donald doesn't want us to be as united. I use the word Donald because I refuse to give him the power of calling him by his last name. When slave owners own slaves, they never call them by their last name. When you see a police officer, there's never his first name. It's always the last name because he is in power. School teachers are in power because of their last name. And we as a community, a minority community, I'm LGBT. I'm Native American. I live in Johnston County.
So what's your point, Reverend Dr. May, please? Because I'm still trying to understand what it is that you're saying.
Well, my point is that when people who are looking at the Republican Party, they're believing the words, but the words have no action. They're just words. Where we in the Democratic Party have action. We organize. We bring communities together. We don't divide. We don't create hate. I live in a state where HB 2 is a hate bill. It's taking away power.
Well, one of the things, let me say this before I let you go, one of the things that has changed in North Carolina as of today is the voter ID bill, which,
absolutely.
You know, and that's a really, really big deal. It's not just a big deal for civil rights activists. It's a big deal for, you know, for Democrats. It's a big deal for minorities. And I also understand that.
Did you hear what Dr. Barber said during his speech last evening?
Real quick. Go ahead.
Dr. Barber said that words are words, actions are actions.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Barber is one of the reasons, as the president of the NAACP in North Carolina, when he was speaking for the people because we have to be united.
Well, Dr. May, thank you. I appreciate your comment, and safe travels to you on the road, and I hope you get home in good shape, and good luck on your campaign. Go right ahead, Taylor.
Here, I want to piggyback on that. In a conversation that I had with New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, this election is different than the elections in the past because we are a social society. We want those 147 characters, and we have people, the millennials, that are really that are listening and just taking excerpts, and that's what they believe. And it's changed the way people perceive things, and that's why some delegates and congressmen that I've spoken to are saying that Donald has been ruling the airways and ruling media because that's the world that we live in now, and he has mastered that.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with one of my friends this afternoon, actually, who was echoing the sentiment that Bernie people need to learn how to act. What's wrong with young people? And my students will tell you, I'm always trying to stick up for the young people. I think that.
Well, you're a young person yourself.
I'm young.
There you go.
They can't see me. I'm 32, right? So in 2008, Barack Obama changed the game. He said, you know, I want these political contributions. You don't have to give me $200. Do you have $10 for me? Can I have $5? And politics changed forever. If millennials are making decisions 140 characters or less, the Democratic Party better figure out how to get that message across in 140
That's right.
characters. It doesn't make sense for Democrats in the establishment to be wagging their fingers at young people or wagging their fingers at Bernie supporters about their lack of support. If you want those votes, if you're trying to win in November, you better figure out how to meet those people where they are.
Do you think that the Clinton campaign is wagging its fingers, or did it just ignore the young people and perhaps were blindsided by the groundswell of support that Bernie Sanders had?
I think in general, political candidates ignore young people. And for the young people listening, they ignore us because young people don't turn out to vote in the numbers that they should. So I think she was doing what was par for the course. I think they probably were surprised that Bernie Sanders, the oldest kind of white guy, right, was able to mobilize all these young people and mobilize minorities around this campaign. I think that there has been some finger wagging in her campaign and in the Democratic establishment broadly, from members of Congress, from members of the Senate, from people who are elected to office across the nation, about these Bernie people who, quote unquote, don't know how to act. And I think that, again, if we want to get people out to vote down ballot, if we want to win, if Democrats want to win in November, then Democrats need to figure out how to meet these young people where they are.
So, Taylor, you're just fresh off of the DNC general election, well underway. Are we going to see mudslinging? What's your feeling about that? And do you? And she said, yes, absolutely.
I have spoken to some Hillary Clinton staunch supporters and delegates that say she, and she's going to keep the high road in the sense of she's going to address him on the issues. She's not going to do the name calling, but she's going to do factual information. When she, they even gave me one reference, and you guys may all remember when Donald, she said during the speech, Donald Trump said he knows more about ISIS than the generals do. And she said, Donald, no, you don't. The crowd roared mm-hmm. with the support of what she was saying.
What about you, Dr. Grant? How muddy and how deep is the mud going to be?
I think it's going to be muddy. I wish it wouldn't be, though. I think that Donald Trump is going to continue to say things that kind of don't make sense and aren't necessarily true and are muddy. I think that the people who he is speaking to are not people who are going to be moved by Hillary Clinton. I don't think it behooves her to go down into the mud with him, except to do maybe in a classy way like she did it last night about no, you don't, Donald. But I don't think it makes a bunch of sense for her to get too far in the mud. I think she needs to invest most of her energy in mobilizing her base and in getting folks out to vote who they might be taking for granted. I don't think they need to take black votes for granted. I don't think they should take young votes for granted. I think they got to make sure that people are excited to go out in November.
And Dr. Grant, part of that is because she's a woman. She's got, she still has to prove to that white American, the
working class,
the working class,
yeah,
that she can take on anybody. Do you and so that's one of the issues that people have been talking about on the ground when I was at the DNC, is she's tough and she's going to show you Donald Trump is nothing compared to what she's dealt with in her past.
Well, Taylor, the gloves come off in September, right?
Absolutely. Yes, they do. They hit the camp. In fact, today they hit the campaign trail, and Donald Trump said he's done. He's taken his gloves off, and no more nice guy.
That debate, though.
No more nice guy.
Yeah, right. That first debate is coming up in September. So buckle up, everybody.
Record numbers.
Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Taylor Thomas, I'm glad that you're home safely.
Thank you.
And look, have a sarsaparilla on me this weekend.
I will indeed.
All right. And of course, Dr. Kenesha Grant, thank you so much. I appreciate you. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 29th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineer Craig Fowler, and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR.